My guest today is the band I Make This Sound. You can check out myspace.com/I Make This Sound. We're going to start by playing a track off of their new EP, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is I Make This Sound. All channels up. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right. Thanks for coming down to the studio. Now, why don't we just go around the room and everybody grab a hold of a mic and we'll just sort of figure out who's here. I know there's about 10 or 15 people in this band, but there's five of you here today. So just tell me who's here and who's missing and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Jeremy. I backing vocals and percussion.
Jeremy just waved to no one. That's great. When
hello, Radioland.
This is the sound of one hello, man
yeah,
waving.
Yeah, this is me waving at you people. My name's Jonathan. I play guitar and sing.
My name's Mike. I play drums.
My name is Greg. I play the guitar.
Dope.
Here, to use this one.
Hi, I'm Jalinda. I play keyboards.
Cool. And who else usually makes up the band?
We're missing Brittany is not here. She plays keys and sings. And who else are we missing? Matt. Matt. Matt's going to kill me for not remembering who else we were missing. Matt. Plays bass.
All right. So tell me how much of this... Especially with the big bands, like asking this question because it's always such an interesting answer. Like, how much of this is sort of, you know, one guy and his band, the I Make This Sounds, and how much of this is a collaborative process where everybody comes together and writes the music and makes the music?
It's a little of both. I mean, I write the songs and I kind of come to everyone with basic arrangements and then we just kind of work through everything.
Is it sort of really starts with an I Make This Sound and then becomes a We Make This Sound after that?
Yeah, that's a way to look at it. Yeah. We don't do the thing where you spend hours jamming together in a room
until a song just magically appears.
You know, 15 seconds of some sort of magic that you run with. We don't really do that too much.
So you usually kind of come in with a sort of a skeleton of a song and then...
Yeah, pretty much.
And do you said you write the arrangements for each person and then they kind of make it their own or is there a lot of winging involved?
Yeah, the arrangements, I don't necessarily write the arrangements for everyone. It's usually, I'll get a song and then I'll get together with usually Mike, drums and bass, drums, bass and keys, or just some sort of basic skeletal group and pound through the actual arrangement as far as which, you know, first chorus, what goes where. And then we'll start fleshing out actual parts for everyone.
But, now, why don't we jump into a live song, and then I want to find out how this group kind of, everyone met each other.
Okay, sure.
What are you going to play for us first?
Are we going to, okay, I think we're going to play the one we just listened to, so you can see how bizarre it sounds back to back.
And maybe just give me just a quick rundown of sort of what we're looking at in the Kill Radio studio. There's a couple of new and interesting instruments, at least on the keys side.
It's a celeste.
Basically, it's an oversized doorbell. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Like the old doorbells. Yeah.
All right. Well, whenever you're ready, let me get this set up real quick, and we'll be good to go. My guest is I Make This Sound. Your listening is good on killradio.org.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What'd you guys think?
Do you like that?
The magic of Pro Tools becomes very evident.
Yeah, it's different than the recording.
Shortest song ever.
Yeah. Okay, one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait any longer for you to come around and offer your head upon my shoulder. And who are they? All those devils in your corner that bring rain.
Make a hop, go 1, 2, 3. Just dancing next to me, though it's from a tiny spark touched upon a devil's tongue.
I'm not getting any younger. She likes to walk around in underwear. Sure, let's put on this cauldron and turn me into an offering for lovers. Have raised me in a dying world of the sun torn below. For 1,000 years that I'll have left you
what he calls you can pray.
That's a simple little song, isn't it? You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guess is I make this sound. Wow, that's some really textured shit. I mean, to put it in professional terms. tell me about this sort of process of, I guess what must have started out at some point as a guy and a guitar and then developed into a band with many different elements.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time by myself in a room with instruments, screwing around.
So to start with, you just sort of laying tracks upon tracks of you playing these other instruments?
It's changed a little bit. Like, the first album was mostly that. It was mostly me in a room. And then, I'm sorry, put a band together around a lot of that. But then this, it's nice because with the first album, I didn't get to hear a lot of what happened until it was already recorded, and that was pretty much the way it was going to sound. But now when you get other people to come sit in and bring ideas, and it ends up a million times better than what you would have done on your own, you know.
Did you have a lot of sort of, you know, transient musicians coming in and out of your life until you settled on a band? Or
well, no, I was actually in another band when I started writing a lot of that first record, and that band was dying, I was putting this band together, and a few of the guys from that band actually helped out in the beginning, and we played some shows as a three-piece, which was really weird and extremely underwhelming, and then there were three or four people in the beginning that helped out and didn't stay long, and then I guess Jalinda was the first person we added after that and started kind of compiling. That was about a year and a half ago, I guess. And then this arrangement's been, maybe a year, something like that.
Well, Jalinda, why don't you grab this one off the stand here and tell me about this experience of joining Jonathan and his work and sort of getting an idea of what kind of music he makes and what you can bring to the band.
Well, I think what attracted me the most, actually, he sent me a message on MySpace, and I just listened to the songs, and I noticed, like, how great the arrangements were, even though they were kind of more simpler back then, but I was really attracted to that, and
Do you have the sense of, like, what's missing from this music is me?
Well, I mean, I kind of actually thought, like, what am I getting into? Like, but it turned out to be really cool, and everyone was really nice. And, you know, we just met all these really great people and formed the band.
It's always a dicey proposition joining a band over
MySpace. Especially, yeah, especially, like, MySpace, you're like, what am I getting into?
Right, because you never know. Yeah, it could be like the mom of a 12-year-old girl trying to get into it.
Yeah, and I remember like going to Jonathan's house for the first time. I was like driving over there, and I was like thinking, oh, my God, I'm going over to somebody's house. I don't even know. What could this turn into?
But, brave woman.
Yeah, but it turned out to be really cool, and I'm glad.
Was there like an audition process?
Well, it was kind of like he just emailed me. I wrote him back and I said I really like the arrangements, and he was like, "Well, we're doing some shows," and he emailed me a couple like basic chord charts, and I just learned them. Like I had the day off; it was Labor Day, and I learned all the songs over the weekend. And I was like, you know,
she showed up and we ran through everything together, and then we played a show like 3 days later or something.
So
it was awesome, though.
You got a sense from right off the top, she understood where the band was going.
Oh, it was perfect. Yeah, absolutely. It was great.
And had you been playing this giant doorbell before? Or?
No, this isn't even mine. I borrowed it from my boss. It's kind of on semi-permanent loan, but yeah.
Now the boss has no idea if anyone's at the door.
Now today we have you just, you know, clapping and doing backup vocals. Is that what you usually bring to the band?
That, and I'll also provide something as intricate as like a tambourine or a sleigh bell.
So that's kind of an unusual position in a band, as, you know, you don't have this sort of readily identifiable, like, oh, and this is the bass player or whatever, have you.
That's true, but strangely, he's probably the most identifiable person at the live shows.
Because you stand out. I mean, tell me a little bit about that, this idea of sort of being in a band, you know, and being, you know, having many faces in the band and not necessarily being associated with one instrument or one responsibility.
It's actually cool because it leaves me like the freedom and the space to kind of like jiggle around and dance, and where everybody else, you were saying earlier how intricate all this stuff is that like I actually don't have to pay much attention to the chords, and all I have to do is just make do rather than stand there. I go, well, I got to make the audience seem that we're actually having a lot more fun than we are than just like looking at our chords. Yeah. And so then I get to frail around and dance and kick.
Is a lot of what you do sort of improvised, or is this also sort of planned and worked into the arrangements?
Singing wise, certainly it's planned, actually. But the moonwalking on stage might just kind of happen out of the blue.
We have dance steps, but it's just for one person.
Oh, well, that's good. You have a choreographed dancer in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about the other guys here in the room? Tell me about sort of what you had been doing and how you ended up doing what you're doing. Don't fight over the mics.
I don't know. Yeah, it seems like everybody, or most, a lot of the band has kind of like Texas connection somehow. Yeah, Greg excluded, but we still love him, even though he never lived in Texas. But
what part of Texas do you guys all come from?
See, I'm from Dallas most of my life.
I'm from Georgia, but I went to school in Texas, so I met some friends of Jonathan's out there.
Were you guys all part of sort of a music scene out there before you came to LA?
Well, kind of around Dallas,
as much of a scene as there was,
right?
But I played in a band with a different guy. The band was called the Madrigals, and Jonathan actually played in that band for a little while too. And we, Jonathan's old band's Murr, their bass player, we played with him in the Madrigals for a while, and before I joined this band.
A funny anecdote. So when Murr, I moved out here with a few guys from this band Murr, right? And we were looking for a drummer because our drummer didn't move out, right? So we had auditions, and Mike came over and auditioned, and I was all about it. But I was the only one. I was sold. I was like, okay, this guy's awesome. Perfect. You know, I could just tell. I'm like, no, we got this guy coming out that the other guys knew from a different band. And so they settled on him. And I would see Mike periodically. I told him, I was like, someday, dude, I'm going to do something with you. And when this started to happen, it was the first person I wanted.
It's funny. It's kind of like the casting director really wants to put the person in the film, know, but can't get it past the producers.
But when it finally came time to do it, I had to beat him over the head a little bit. I called him up. He's like, dude, we haven't talked in 6 months. Why are you calling me?
I got a dent in my head now.
Your ego is a little wounded.
I had a soft skull at that time. It was just a baby.
And tell me about playing guitar in this as well, like bringing the other you know, a second guitar into the band?
Well, I kind of ended up with this group, mutual friends, kind of how the whole deal worked out. Spent a number of late nights together, kind of in at the compound.
We drank a lot more together before we played together.
Yeah. That's
it's important to establish a rapport.
You actually hear that on the record.
Yeah, the drinking.
Well, no. What is it that you think that you do in terms of, you know, being in the band? What is your responsibility? Is it kind of, you know, adding to what Jonathan's doing with the guitar and bringing it out? Is there a way that you play in this band that's different than you would play in another band or if you were playing lead guitar?
Yeah, well, honestly, in this band, there's a lot of slide guitar, which is fun. I enjoy doing that. I have, you know, in my normal life, my real life, my real identity, I don't play a whole lot of slide guitar. But I love it. I've really gotten into it. And I kind of in this, you know, in this band, there's so much going on, as you noticed. And yeah, I do a lot of, more of the lead lines, that kind of, just kind of like the icing on the cake kind of stuff. So Jonathan can focus on the singing and do all of that. So just kind of filling in here and there and doing that is what I do.
It's the most descriptive sentence I've ever heard. Just filling in here and there and doing this and that.
Well, it seems that's what a lot of people in the band do, and then it all comes together, you know, and to form this full thing. Everybody is kind of like an ingredient in this big cake. Yeah,
it's tough to. I like the feel of like that kind of wall of sound stuff where there's a lot going on, but it's hard to make it so that everybody's not stepping all over each other. You know, mm-hmm. That's what you got to be aware of. I'm not sure how successful we are.
Is that a challenge in the writing process in terms of sort of making sure that everybody in the band has something to do, even if it's not necessarily, you know, essential for the song?
No. I got no qualms with the one of the songs we'll play in a little bit. Half the band drinks beer for
just has to sit out for a bit.
Yeah, everybody, it's a beer break. it's whatever the song requires or doesn't.
Cool.
Really.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's listen to another track from some of the music that you brought in.
Okay.
And then we'll get back to some more live stuff. What should I play next?
Maybe track 2 off that same CD.
All right. And this is a new EP. Is this out yet?
Yeah, no, this is coming out on February 13th. We're having a show at the Echo for this with another band Jalinda's in called The Breakups. They're releasing an EP that same night. And we're playing with a band called Amateurs and a band called La Switch, some friends of ours.
Well, that's cool, Jalinda. You get to sort of kill two birds with one stone of two CD release parties at the same time.
And wear two outfits. That's what she's most excited about.
Yeah. And then a costume change in between.
You could wear one of those like outfits where it's like black on one side and white on the other. Yeah. And you can sing like your profile.
Although with her other band, it'd have to be brown on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is I Make This Sound. Stick around.
Another name to write.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with I Make This Sound. myspace.com/I Make This Sound. Is that the place to go for all the up-to-date information?
Yeah, that's probably the most reliable. We have a website too, imakethesound.com.
Which has a link directly to your MySpace.
Right? At the moment, it does, actually. We put the poster up. But generally, there's actually a website behind there, but it's offline for the moment.
Now, before we jump into another live songs, talk a little bit about the lyrical content of your songs.
As we were just joking.
Yeah, we were just joking that sometimes, you know, you have to make them up on the fly because there's a lot to remember, especially with the newer songs. But
or because I don't have them.
Right. Yeah. Well, what are some? Does that usually come last for you in the process of writing a song?
It depends. Like the one of the newest ones, I wrote the words, most of the words at the same time as the arrangement. But that's probably more the exception than the rule, I would think.
How does it usually come to you? Sort of like get an idea for a song in your head and you kind of rush to find a napkin to write it down on? Or do you set aside a time for writing?
I've got probably 10 different notebooks with songs half done and scraps of paper stuck in there and post-its. And yeah, just wherever I'm at. A terrible admission, I write a lot on the toilet. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
He actually writes on the toilet itself. Yeah.
With a Sharpie. Yeah. Like. Yeah.
There's something about the... Yeah, I know. There's something about the quiet and the seclusion of being in a bathroom that makes me want to write. I don't know what it is.
Interesting. You could turn it into a music studio.
The world's smallest music studio.
Soundproof your bathroom.
You'd think there's more duty humor in the song lyric, because of that. But there's not.
Well, on that note, sort of, what are the what are the themes that you find yourself coming back to a lot in your songwriting?
I don't know. Duty and...
poo.
I don't know. A lot of the songs are about death and kind of darker stuff, but a lot of them are love songs too. I don't know. I try to... About half the time it's first-person stuff, and about the other half of the time it's just trying to write an interesting story. But mostly love and death, I guess.
Do you like to keep things kind of abstract, or do you like to tell it more in like a story-like form, like this is something that happened?
Again, it depends. Like that last one we just played is very much a story, and that one we just listened to, King and Queen, is very much a story. But the last track on there, Staring, is very, very kind of nebulous, and just it's more like a feeling in the words than an actual, you know, linear plot line or anything. So depends.
Let's jump into another live song, and I'm going to listen for euphemisms about...
Okay, right.
About eliminating and bladders. What are you going to play for us next?
That's a good question. Do you want to do Holiday?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you know the words? You
I know the words to this. And this one's easy. It's
I think
just
Holiday's
about,
in there somewhere.
It's just about a vacation, so this is a simple one.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is I Make This Sound.
I would like to spend a holiday right here with you under the sun, this golden one. And when the day grows weary of our homes, we'll hide under the starry night, a less simple life. When the sea should come for us, the world will find we're hand in hand under the
I would like to spend the holiday right here with you under the sun. This golden one. Every cloud that tracks us down above an ocean painted summer blue unwound, and hopes to point us home. Stay here with our hearts beneath the waves. And I would like to spend the holiday right here with you under the sun. This golden one. And every cloud painted summer blue unwound, and hopes to point us home. Stay here with our hearts beneath the waves. And I will
It is good on killradio.org. My guess is I make this sound. That was gorgeous.
Oh,
that was
thanks.
So clean.
Nice.
Let's talk about playing live versus being in the recording studio. I mean, one of the things about having a band that has so many different elements to it is, you know, there's probably a sense of safety being in the recording studio, laying down the perfect track. There's probably a sense of terror that comes at least with the first couple times you put it out in the live atmosphere. Tell me about those two worlds.
I think that was probably truer in the beginning, but I'm really excited about the more we keep doing this and the newer stuff, I immediately want to start playing it live. Like, I'm really anxious to get the new stuff out.
So when you're in the studio, do you kind of miss that connection with the audience and that kind of energy?
Sure. I mean, for sure. That's part of the what's hard about recording, I think, is trying to find a way to recreate some of that, because it's certainly easier to feed off a crowd, especially a receptive one, you know. But I love being in the studio too. We record all this stuff and mix it ourselves. Mike's got a background in recording stuff, and I do a little bit too. So it's fun. I love to record as well. It's a different kind of excitement, but yeah.
Mike, has that been sort of another way that? Sorry, Mike.
Other Mike.
I was talking to the microphone actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Has that been another sort of way that you can kind of, you know, inject your own kind of creativity into the band and the way that you record?
Totally. I really enjoyed doing that with drums and kind of getting in there and seeing what kind of feelings I can create with drums. And sometimes I like to think this anyway, that it may change what the original impression of the song, the original emotion and
the way it's recorded, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll vouch for that.
Or
absolutely.
The drum playing and kind of the ideas, yeah, behind the recording of it. And
well, I lean a lot on Mike too, because he's a really good drummer, and they're hard to find. And so, we're gonna make out in a minute. So a song like that first song we played, especially, arrangements will change based on ideas he'll show up with for drums and stuff. So yeah, I lean on him a lot.
What makes for a good live show, for you, in your opinion? Like, how do you know when you finish that it's like, yeah, that's really what we set out to do. That's tequila. Represents us.
I don't know. Mostly the way I feel personally. Like, if it's a good show, I mean, part of the danger in playing shows, especially late, is that as soon as you finish playing, you're kind of wired for a little while. If it was a good show, it's hard to go to sleep, which leads to drinking usually. And yeah,
building climbing
it leads
and
to
stuff.
Drinking.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I do most of my drinking after we play at shows because I don't want to be wasted when we play. But when we play, and especially if it's a good show, that's all I want
to
do for the
it's
next.
It's funny. There's some
hours.
Bands that you, like as a booker, like you have to know to book them early in the night because right, right, right. Yeah, it won't be any good to you after 11.
Yeah. 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 Well, see, when I
don't, I know it.
Other bands I've been in where I don't sing so much. I'm way more inclined to drink before the show because if I'm just playing the guitar, I can handle that. But when I'm doing more than one thing at once, there's no way.
So the church is right. Live music is a gateway drug.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think so. I think they think it's a gateway to Jesus, but we found other.
Well, what makes for a bad live show? I mean, aside from like, I mean, do you just base it because there's so many elements on sort of, you know, if everything works technically or there's certain things about the performance or the audience or the scene that go, you know, this really
fires.
Fires or fires.
If somebody gets hurt, that's like,
yeah, my amp blowing up twice during the show.
Oh,
not
yeah, that's
good.
Happened a few times. Broken strings are fairly, well, they're not as common as they have been, but that happens. Yeah, her amp's blown up twice, and that'll kill a show.
Broken
quick.
Feet are not good for a show either.
Oh, yeah. We played a residency at the Bordello, and Mike had broken his foot right before the first show, and he played the entire month with a cast on his kick foot. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
That was fun.
That's those were actually really good shows, though. Not to, you know, like, we didn't answer your question at all. Bad shows. I don't know.
What are some specific ones that we thought of been bad?
I don't know. You know, and it sucks to say it, but, like, when it flops really bad with the crowd, that's always kind of... I know you're supposed to play every show like it's the most important one, but it's hard to see past that sometimes. You know?
Is there a certain kind of venue or a kind of scene that you prefer to play for? Like, you know, an intimate cafe versus
Staples
Center rock place? Yeah.
We play a lot at... like the Bordello is pretty good to us. I like the Echo a lot. Because it's bigger stage and the sound is great and the booking lady is really nice to us.
Well, the Echo is cool too because it has an interesting combination of being a place where you can be big and loud, but you can also be right up there with the crowd.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
I think that's probably my favorite venue in town. Actually, our last show at Spaceland sounded really good too, though.
Yeah.
We just don't get to play there very often.
I think the best places to play are the places with big stages, so we can
so
all
that you
fit.
Can all fit.
For us, yeah.
That helps.
And a decent sound system helps, too. We've played some shows that we played in Vegas at this place where we barely fit into the corner we were supposed to play, and it was just so loud and impossible to make it sound good, you know, which, yeah.
I guess it also makes a difference who else is on the bill, like sort of what musical mood you're in. You know, if you have to sit through three bands that you can't stand, and then you got to go up there on stage and act like you've oh,
3 hours
in a good
of
musical
house
mood.
Music or something.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, just something that has nothing to do with you guys.
We played a show recently. I won't say where, but and it was like it was nothing but dance music in between each set, and
I
mean, and it was
I like
mostly,
Square Pusher as much as the next guy.
I like Square Pusher, but they weren't playing Square Pusher.
They played a couple.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Anyway,
but I wouldn't think that would be, if I were DJing a band night, and I wouldn't think to play that knowing you guys were coming up next.
Right. Well, see, Square Pusher doesn't, but a lot of it was just the typical like the really bad dance stuff, and then some of the bands were kind of heavier, and we were total odd man out, you know.
So if you're a DJ out there playing before us, put on like Mercury or Rev. That's how you know. Yeah. That'll be a good starting point.
So I mean, it helps obviously like sort of be in a musical mood and feel,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Feel good about it. Have you sort of made alliances with some other local bands to sort of support each other's shows? And that seems to be the new thing now. It's kind of forming collectives without signing papers.
And it's easy when there are a bunch of good bands in town too. There's, you know, LA gets a bad rap for a lot of things, but man, there are some great bands in town. There's a lot of really good bands.
Let's listen to another track from some of the music you brought in.
What
do you think?
Let's hear track 6.
Off of the new EP?
Oh, track 5. I'm sorry. Yeah. There's only 5.
Hidden.
Track 56.
Hidden even from the band. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guess is I make this sound. Stick around.
Thank you.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is I Make This Sound. This EP represents what in the discography of your band? It's
The second? Yeah.
And you had, so this other one here, Everything Means Something, that was your debut?
Yes.
And these two EPs together, is this sort of a build-up to a full-length, or do you like to just sort of release some very, you know, well-crafted, small...
Well, up to now, we've just been putting them out as soon as we have them. But the goal is to do an LP this year. We've probably got 3 or 4 songs that are ready to go, and we're hoping to have another, you know, 7 or so.
Do you usually follow each song through to the end, or do you have a lot of unfinished songs that you had to abandon?
Oh, I've got tons of them. Tons of stillborn babies around the house.
Gross.
Yeah. I live at Planned Parenthood.
Back to the toilet thing.
And
does the rest of the band sort of contribute to whether or not a song is going to make it? Or do you kind of have the final say as whether you're going to keep working at it?
Well, I mean, you know, a little of both. You know, it's easy. We've been playing some of the songs for, we've only been together for a year as a group, which sound like wine or
feels like longer.
We've been playing them forever, but you know, you get tired of them. Some of them don't work as well live as they do recorded sometimes, and you know, they just are what they are. But
so, sort of seeing the live shows pan out kind of has an influence on what songs you want to stick with in terms of releasing an album.
It seems to be a pretty decent indicator as far as what I think the better songs tend to translate live well as well. Seems like. But then again, I you know, like that one we just listened to is a total studio project, which we will be playing live at the EP release show for the first time.
Cool.
So we'll see how well that translates. It's coming along, though.
Well, let's do some more live stuff now. What would you like to play?
You want to do Macaroni? This is a song off the first EP.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is I Make This Sound.
Half an hour of elbows and pastes for this cardboard pin above your face. And though I tried, I just could not replace the broken piece of pinwheel eye that fell apart on my way. You, I try for you. And watered down and drowning in places, the smallest seed I planted yesterday. Climbing out, his love hopes to stray from that little paper cup into your heart once again. For you, I try these things. For you, my hands unwind this crayon valentine, a giant's hard paper mache. And though the words are plain across the front in finger paint, how my heart grows each day that I'm with you. Moments seem so true. Each day that I'm with you, the moments seem so true. Each day that I'm with you.
Moments seem so true.
love those surprise endings.
Yeah.
I Make This Sound is my guest. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Let's talk about your sort of relationship to the music industry. How do you...
What relationship?
Well, then maybe that's where we're going to go with this discussion. Like, how do you... like, how do you pitch yourselves in terms of, you know, and the suits want to paint you into a corner as being, you know, this, that, or the other genre? You know, if you're inviting, you know, people to an industry showcase or something like that, how do you describe I Make This Sound?
I don't want to cut the legs out from that entire question, but we really haven't dealt with much of that at all.
So it hasn't really come up yet?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know, unless I'm forgetting something. Did something happen that I forgot about? I don't think so.
I mean, we're on the verge of getting a major record deal right now.
That's true. Capital.
We don't know who it's from.
Knocking our door. Yeah, right.
Well, you were.
Yeah. Warner Weathers.
Yeah. Schmooniversal,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we haven't had to deal with too much of that.
I mean, is that something that you aspire to, or are you going to continue releasing stuff on your own?
The main reason I would love for something like that to happen is, two reasons. So we wouldn't have to pay to make the records ourselves, mm-hmm. and so that somebody would maybe pay for us to go on the road.
So they could make us think that we weren't paying.
Right, yeah. They convince us to defer payment for 3 years. Like, we've done a few little legs up to, like, the Bay Area, and we did a misguided leg up to Vegas, but it's fun. I love when we get to go do that, but it's expensive when you pay for it by yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So you would like to see a sort of all expenses paid national tour?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not looking for a bus or anything.
Right.
You know? I just want somebody to pony up some money for a hotel room and maybe a couple of beers, you know, and book some shows for us. That'd be great. Yeah.
And how do you sort of see the evolution of the band, you know, moving forward in terms of, you know, well, let's say you do get some sort of label interest. What are sort of directions you'd like to take the band in, and sort of also directions that you want to make sure you don't take the band in to sort of, you know, there's always this fear in the independent world that once you get signed to a label, once you get that sort of corporate help, then you might lose your integrity by...
Well, there's always the chance of becoming a giant douchebag.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, douchebag, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that sort of something you guys sort of keep in mind, like maintaining
the... We're
already
ahead of the game because I think we're all pretty big douchebags. Anyway. So we got that out of the way. I don't know. I mean, everybody in the band is pretty grounded, I think, for the most part. Well, no prima donnas or anything. So, and strangely, I mean, it's so hard to put a band together where everybody gets along, but there's seven of us and we all get along. And it's, I think we would handle success very well, yes.
Is there an identifiable I Make This Sound? So could people hear your music and know that it's yours? Do you hear your music and maybe you're working on a song and you go, this isn't really an I Make This Sound song. We should take it not in this direction.
We've had this discussion a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know. Some of my favorite, like one of my favorite bands, Ween, is the most, I mean, they run the gambit.
They'll play
anything.
Yeah.
They'll put out a country album for fun, you know. So I don't like the idea of drawing lines as far as weeding things off because of sound I'm sure we have yet to write like a metal tune and throw it in there, you know. So I guess there's some delineation, but it's mostly unsaid. I had a conversation with Mike a long time ago about the idea of trying to focus the sound for the band, and yeah, I don't know.
I guess that's ultimately more limiting than it is liberating, huh?
I was thinking about something else. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that kind of lends itself to making, I don't know,
mediocre music.
Kind of boring albums, yeah. You know. If you're gonna make seven songs that all sound similar, then you know, maybe just make one and then make a second one that's different. I don't know. I like the idea that the songs kind of jump around a little.
Well, before we run out of time, I'd love to get another live song out of you if you're down.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You want to do Everything or King and Queen?
I want to do Everything.
Okay, we're gonna do it. Another track off the first one.
Wait, no. By that, I meant...
All right, whenever you guys are ready.
Okay, yeah. It's the most difficult three-chord song to play in the world. Finally figured out that you lost something. You disappeared for days and still felt nothing. You threw yourself against the skies, not knowing you'd leave us here with nothing. You're telling everyone that you found something about yourself that makes you more than nothing. So you threw it away when everything comes tumbling, the reckoning of something. Show the world that everything, it means something, protecting us from nothing.
That was fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man.
That was great.
Thanks.
So when I was wondering, when you guys are on stage, is there a lot of sort of silent communication that goes on between the members of the band, sort of check in with each other, make sure everything's going right?
Turn down, dude.
Yeah, there's some of that. If it's a good show, yeah, that's kind of part of it, you know. It makes me happiest when I'm not singing and I can turn around and watch everybody play. You know, those are some of my favorite moments.
Cool.
I don't get to do it too much because I'm singing all the time, but that's what makes me happiest.
Well, remind us once again where you guys are playing next. I know you have a big CD release show coming up.
Yeah, big show. We're going to have string players and a little miniature choir. It's going to be fun. We're playing on February 13th at the Echo with our friends The Breakups, who are having an EP release, and Amateurs and La Switch, and they're all fantastic bands. So.
Not to mention your one-man choreographed dancer.
Absolutely. There will be dancing.
Mr. That's Eye Candy.
For those of you in Radio Land, that's a Valentine's Eve, so get your groove on the night before you're supposed to.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that, actually. I got to go out and buy something, I guess. Or, I don't know,
like our new album.
Yeah. I don't buy albums anymore. That's why I have this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for coming in, guys. It's been a great show. Let's sign off with another track from something you brought in. Anything you like?
Maybe off that first album there.
Sure. What should we play?
Let's do Holiday, I guess. That seems to be a favorite.
Throw this in here. My guest has been I Make This Sound, myspace.com/imakethissound. This episode will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
I would like to spend a holiday right here with you under the sun, this golden one. When the day grows weary of our hopes, we'll hide under the starry night, less impolite. If the sea should come for us, the world will find we're hand in hand under the waves. I would like to spend a holiday right here with you. We'll hide under